What is up, Mid-America? Whew, let's try that again. What is up, Mid-America? There you go. How y'all doing? My name is Pete Birds, as Dan said. I originally hail from upstate Illinois, so I may or may not be a fan of the first place Chicago Cubs. Oh, yeah, I know. It's so rough. Thanks for giving us all your players, Cardinal fans. Hey, we got one Cub fan. Holy cow, that's awesome. Good deal. So my wife and I live up actually in Milwaukee. That's in Wisconsin for those of you who are geographically challenged. Any Wisconsinites? No? Oh, hey, couple. That's awesome. Good deal. So a couple years back, I was at work just jamming away, plowing through some stuff on my laptop, and all of a sudden I get this instant message from my best friend Dan. Just kind of like out of the blue, he says, "Hey, Pete, comma, what's up? Exclamation point, question mark. Not much, Dan. How are you? Question mark. Psh. He says, "Pete, comma, dude, comma, I won a sweepstakes! Exclamation point, exclamation point. No way. Like, I thought the whole point of a sweepstakes was nobody wins. You know what I mean? So, dude, what did you win? Question mark. He writes back, "I'm going to the Rose Bowl for free, all caps, exclamation point, exclamation point." Sweet, that's awesome. You know, like, he gets to go to the Rose Bowl. What a big deal. This is like December. It's in a couple of weeks. Awesome. He writes back, "Pete, comma, do you want to go with me? Dot, 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 exclamation point, exclamation point. Of course. Duh, Milwaukee in the middle of winter. Do I want to go to Pasadena, California to watch the Rose Bowl with my best friend? Of course, absolutely." Start freaking out. I'm at work, like all of a sudden I'm like dancing, you know, like this is awesome. He writes back, "Pete, comma, guess who's going to be there? Dot, 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 question mark. Who's going to be there, Dan? Dot, 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 question mark." He writes back, "Switchfoot, all caps, is going to be there, exclamation point, exclamation point." I know how many of you have ever heard of the band Switchfoot. This is a picture of them. Woo, hey, yeah, we can give it up for them. So they kind of got this like Southern California vibe, you know, they're like an alternative rock band from California. I may or may not be a little bit obsessed with them. My best friend Dan, who is instant messaging me, may or may not be a little bit obsessed with them. So here's what that means. I play guitar and I attempt to sing. I don't know how many of you are that do that, but play guitar, attempt to sing. I can probably play and sing about 3/4 of their songs. They've come out with 11 albums, 3/4 of their songs. I follow them on social media, semi-religiously, right? I go to their website every day to check up on news. I may or may not go to their fan website 2 or 3 times a day just to check up on the latest news about this band. So let's just say I'm a little mildly obsessed with this band, and Dan, my best friend who is also obsessed with this band, just instant messaged me that Switchfoot, all caps, is going to be there. Sweet. So I write back, "Dan, what does that mean? Dot, 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 question mark." He writes back, "Pete, comma, they're going to be with us, period." "Dan, comma, what do you mean by quotations? Pete, comma, they're going to be with us, period, end quotation, question mark." He writes back, "Pete, comma, they're going to be with, all caps, us, period." "Dan, comma, what do you mean by quotations? Pete, Pete, comma, they're going to be with, all caps, us, period, and quotation mark, question mark. Pete, comma, they're going to be with, all caps, italicize, us, period. Dan, comma, what do you mean by quotations? Pete, comma, they're going to be with, all caps, italicized, us, period, end quotation mark, exclamation point, question mark." He writes back, "I kid you not, Pete, comma, they are going to be with, all caps, italicized, bold face, us, period. Here's what he won. I kid you not, an all expenses paid trip to fly to Pasadena, California for free, to stay at a hotel for free, to go to the Rose Bowl for free with the band." Like, There's no other reason that they're there except to hang out with me and my best friend. They're not like playing a concert. They're not doing an interview. They're literally just there to hang out with me and my best friend. So the day of the game comes, we're at the hotel. It's about 11 o'clock, the game's in a couple of hours. All of a sudden, Switchfoot's manager, right, of this like multi-million dollar grossing, like Grammy award winning band, calls up my buddy Dan on his cell phone and says, hey, we're gonna be there in about a half an hour, so make sure you're ready. So all of a sudden, my heart just like drops. We're in the hotel room, and especially guys, like I promise you this, I like started freaking out like a 15-year-old girl at a One Direction concert. You know what I mean? So we're like changing clothes and like freaking out and like, Troy, what are you gonna wear? I don't know what I'm gonna wear. Like I've never actually cared about what I'm gonna wear. But here we're meeting Switchfoot. Like I care about what I'm gonna wear. So. But 11:30 comes, we like slip down, realize that I'm like 27 at this time, right? So I've got a backpack full of stuff for them to sign, of course. And we're like sitting there, we're like freaking out, they're gonna show up, and all of a sudden I see it, right? Whew. Right down Colorado Boulevard, right where the Rose Bowl parade comes through. You see it, it's black, and it's a van, and it's not just any van. It's one of those vans that you see when you've got like a Catholic family with like 17 kids, you know? It's black, it's got a shimmer. The one person said, yeah, that's my family, right? So it's got like a little shimmer to it, and it's coming closer, and all of a sudden the blinker goes on. We start hitting each other like this. You know, my heart drops. They pull right in front. Door swings open. Comes John Foreman, the lead singer of the band, like the whole reason that I follow him. John Foreman, his lyrics. Blows open the door, walks out, reaches out his right hand, say, hey, you guys must be Pete and Dan. I'm John. In the back of my head, I'm thinking, well, no duh, you're John. Like, you live in Encinitas, California. You have a young daughter. How many super creepy semi-stalker things could I tell you about who you are? You know what I'm saying? But I didn't say that by the grace of God. Instead, I said, hi, I'm Pete. So literally, we got into the van, hung out with them for about 6 or 7 hours, and I'm telling you guys, I asked them every single nerdy question I could ever ask them. Like seriously, like everything, what did this song mean, like all this stuff. And we hung out with them for about 6 or 7 hours. And it was crazy because I had met celebrities before, but I've never gotten to just like hang out with them. And what I realized from this experience is that is a completely different thing to like know a lot about somebody and actually get to know them. Completely different thing. Like at that point, like I was a fanboy. Like I could have told you every single little fact that you would ever want to know about this band Switchfoot. I'd play their songs, knew what they were up to, knew what this song meant, all these like different facts. But it was a completely different thing to actually get to know them. To actually like speak to them. To know that they're just like a normal human being, a normal person, and actually relate to them. I think oftentimes as Catholics, we come into conferences like this, or we kind of do the youth group thing, or the confirmation thing, or the CCD thing, and we start to just like know all these little facts about Jesus, about the church. We even like kind of act in accord in that way without actually getting to really know him. We know a ton about him. We could rattle off a million different facts about him, but not actually get to know him. And my brothers and sisters, this evening and this weekend, I promise you 100% that this is God's desire for you. He wants to have a close and personal relationship with you. He is not okay with you just knowing a lot about him. Like, he loves you in the midst of that, but what he's really inviting you to, he's inviting me to, all of us to, is to have a deep relationship with him. This is the desire of his heart. Is he thirsts for you? But what about you? What about me? What are my desires? Like, we have a God who thirsts for us, but what about us? Like for me, I have a million different desires. Oftentimes, I'm like a roller coaster. Some days are good, some days are bad. I have like very like natural desires. Food, fudge brownie sundae, man. Like, love that stuff, you know? Drink at the butt crack of dawn, I wake up, grab a cup of coffee every single morning. Like, just desire it from the moment I wake up. Sleep, I guarantee you about half of the classes in my senior English class, I slept through. Like these very like basic human desires, each one of us has them, right? So food, drink, sleep, things like that. But there's another level of like desire that each one of us has. We desire popularity, followers on Instagram, right? Just like being popular at school, things like that. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but there's like a desire there, a desire to be known by other people in that way, to be a big deal, right? A desire for relationships, and not just like romantic relationships, although we desire that. Like even just like a good family. I don't know if I've ever met anybody that doesn't want to be a part of a good family. A desire for friendship, right? Just to have people that have your back, that you can have like common interests with, things like that. A desire for fame, a desire for money. Crazy thing about money is usually we want to get it to buy things that we actually don't need, to impress people we don't actually like. Kind of crazy, right? But like we have that desire so that we can buy things, right? A desire for just going to a good college. I'm sure a lot of you are like straight A students. Well, maybe not a lot of you, but you know what I mean? Like you just like desire to have a good college, a good education, so you can get a good job and make enough money to like support a family later on, that kind of thing, just to be successful. We have these like desires, again, like food, drink, sleep, but also we have these like deeper desires. And I think ultimately, no matter who you are, at the deep core, there's just like a real desire to be happy. Don't you want to be happy? Like literally everything that I do is based on me wanting and desiring to be happy. This clown is actually who taught me all about happiness, if we could have it up on the screen. Taught me all about what it means to be happy, real simple. So my mom especially, like I'd be sitting in the passenger seat. We'd be driving down the main street of where I grew up, and all of a sudden, you know, I'd see like the golden arches, right? And go up and go through the drive-thru or whatnot. I get my box, you know, that has like the little meal of happiness, you know? And inside, there's a burger, right? And there's some fries, there's a drink. Maybe you were the chicken nuggets kid, I don't know, but I was the burger kid. And then I'd get like this little toy from the recent Disney movie that like just came out. And this was like my happy meal, right? And this was my happy place. Like when I had a happy meal, everything was good, everything was grand. And eventually as I grew up, I hit like 7 years old, age of reason. All of a sudden, what I started to realize was that this burger, which is probably about 98% plastic, is actually making me sick. About half of you probably had McDonald's on the way to Steubenville, and you know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean? So, and then this drink that was actually making me more thirsty, and then this toy that all of a sudden I could care less about, right? And I know this is like kind of a dumb example, but there's a reality here that what promised me happiness eventually left me unsatisfied. You see, the thing about a lot of our desires is that sometimes we put so much stock into them that eventually there's a sense where they actually leave us wanting more. Like we desire something greater, something deeper, something more, something beyond it. That maybe it satisfies for just a moment, but then goes more. We desire more. One of the most cool places I've ever gotten to go to is the Grand Canyon. This is a picture of the Grand Canyon up here. If you've ever gotten the chance to go, it's absolutely stunning. So check this out, 277 miles long, 18 miles wide, and 6,000 feet deep. I mean, think about that again, 277 miles long, 18 miles wide, 6,000 feet deep. I mean, this thing is absolutely massive and huge. One of my favorite authors says that we have a Grand Canyon-sized hole in our hearts. I mean, just think about that. We have a Grand Canyon-sized hole in each one of our hearts. This desire for something greater, this desire for something more, this desire for something, dare I say, even infinite. He finishes the quote. He says, we have a Grand Canyon-sized hole in our hearts that we try to fill with marbles. These tiny little insignificant things. And I don't know what those marbles are for you. For each one of us, there's a reality of like, I'm a sinner. I struggle. I fall at different times. Like, I've got marbles that I try to fill my Grand Canyon with, and there are various different sins. I don't know what it is that you struggle with, but there's certainly sins that you're tossing into this Grand Canyon that you come in here tonight holding in your heart. Maybe for some of you, it's some of those other things that you think that popularity is going to be the end-all, be-all of your life. Or you think that if you just get into the right college, everything's going to absolutely work out and be 100%. When you think you, date this girl or date this guy, everything's going to be absolutely perfect, and all it is another marble. Because we have this Grand Canyon-sized hole in our hearts that we try to fill with marbles. It's an infinite hole. It's an ache for something more, for something greater. Dan was talking about the Samaritan woman just a little bit ago, right at the end of our prayer time. And what's beautiful about this story, this encounter of Jesus Christ with this Samaritan woman, is that he meets her exactly where she's at. Like, she's sinful. There's things going on in her life. There's adulterous relationships there. And she's at this well. And Jesus begins to actually talk to her, right? He's not supposed to have any sort of, like, interaction with her. He's a Jew, she's a Samaritan, and they're not supposed to interact at all. But he starts to talk with her, just talk to her. And this is what he has to say. He says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Again, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. Speaking of this well, this is going to thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give will become eternal life. He is the living water. I mean, in this, he sees the well and he says, if you drink of this water and this is all you're drinking, you will be thirsty again. You have a Grand Canyon-sized hole in your heart, and if you keep filling it with marbles, you're not going to be fulfilled. But if you start drinking the water that I give, that's where life actually comes. That's where joy comes. That's where happiness is coming about. And I think at the very core of each human person, there is a deep desire for each one of us to be loved. I mean, literally, this is what makes us happy, right? It's when we actually experience love. Here, Jesus is coming to this woman and saying, like, I am love. I am the living water. Like, if you invest in me, if you look to me, if you drink the water that I give, that is what is going to bring eternal life. That instead of filling this Grand Canyon-sized hole in your heart with marbles, you fill it with an infinite love that can only come from him. My brothers and sisters, how crazy cool is it that in every single action that we do, we desire love? That's not just me, that's not just you, that's everybody. And it's not just 2016, it's like anybody, everywhere, all the time, throughout all the history of humanity, like, we desire love. It's really every single decision that we make, it is the animating decision, right? It's the animating motivation in everything that we make is love. And how crazy cool is it that we have a God who has revealed himself to be that infinite love? We have an infinite desire for love, and he has revealed himself to be that infinite love. Back in the day, my freshman year of high school, I walked in through the front doors, a fine Scottish stallion. I was about 5'2", I kid you not, and I looked like I was 9. I know I still look, you know, like a little young now, but I was about 5'2", looked like I was 9. And I walked through the doors of my high school. I went from a grade school that was about 350 people to a high school that was like 1,200, which that may or may not be big to you, but for me, that was huge. Like, that was kind of crazy. Like, I go to this huge high school, and it was nuts. I was a freshman. The seniors, they've got these, like, huge Duck Dynasty beards, you know, or, like, a hipster beard. I had, like, little seedlings under my armpits, that kind of thing, you know. It was just, like, a weird time. And so I walk into the halls of my high school, and it was just kind of like a crazy year. I came in there with three really good friends, three friends that I knew from grade school coming into high school. These three guys, we were kind of thick as thieves. Like, everything that we did, we hung out together. You know, like everything that we did, we were always together. There was a huge problem, though, is that literally everything that I would say, they would twist and turn to reject me. And what I mean by that is literally they would pick on me constantly. Like anything that I ever said, they would twist somehow to reject me, to make fun of me, to do something, you know, like something inappropriate or something like off-putting that would actually hurt me. And it was all kind of under the banner of like, oh, we're just kidding. You know what I mean? But every single day I would come home from school and I would just like, I mean, just being real with y'all, like I would just cry. And I was just like ripped apart by all these like different things. Like literally I had incredible just issues with anxiety throughout this time. I had zero confidence. Like I went to this new school. You'd think like, oh, Pete, why wouldn't you just like make new friends? The problem was is that I had experienced this in such a way that like I couldn't say anything to even them or they were going to reject me. Like that had been reinforced in such a way that I couldn't make new friends. Like, I couldn't just, like, go out and meet people. Literally, I sat in the back of my classes in school, and the only way I would speak is if you spoke to me, I might say two words back to you. And this was my freshman year. Like, just, I mean, can't even tell you. Every single day, realizing, like, this deep anxiety. And to be honest with you, there are a lot of ups and downs, lots of roller coasters. There were some times that I survived days, you know, where I felt, like, okay. And there were other days where I kind of got into some pits of just like despair, depression, that sort of thing. And this was my freshman year, and it was crazy. I had never felt so alone. I really, just because of the situation, had felt kind of handcuffed. You know, like I wasn't drinking of the water, you know, that like doesn't satisfy. I certainly wasn't drinking the water that Christ gives. I was just kind of dehydrated, you know, like I couldn't do anything. And I felt so paralyzed, so handicapped. Kind of time went on throughout my freshman year. My sophomore year came around, and that's when 9/11 happened. 2001, 9/11 happened. You know, two, obviously, you guys have heard the stories, you've seen the videos or whatnot. These two airplanes go into the Twin Towers, and obviously, because of that, is the cause of about 3,500 deaths in our country. Obviously, the worst terrorist attack that's ever happened to our country. And it was a huge thing for me because it was the first time that I ever really thought about death. The first time that I ever really thought about death, and it's not something we like to talk about. Even the fact that I just brought it up, some of you are like, whoa, don't go there, you know. But it's the first time I really contemplated it. I knew about it before, but this was the first time I actually like took a hold of it and thought about it. And I can remember I was in my room about a month after 9/11. And again, I'd been going through like all these different like difficulties with anxiety, sometimes despair, even depression. And I was sitting in my room and I was writing just like a free write, you know, like in English class, that kind of thing. And the assignment was, how has life changed since 9/11? So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about death, you know, and I'm thinking about like, because of that, what is life all about? Who am I? Is there purpose to this life? Is there meaning to this life? What happens at the end? What am I supposed to do with my life? I mean, aren't these just like the like core questions that each one of us asks at certain points in our life? Maybe you've never asked them before. You should, because they matter. What is the purpose? What is the point? Who am I? Like, my heart was just aching for some kind of answer. And that night, I encountered the living God in such an incredible, powerful way for the first time in my entire life. Where all of a sudden, what I started to realize, like I had kind of done the church thing, I kind of like grew up Catholic here and there, but all of a sudden, I realized like, holy cow, there actually is a purpose to my life. Like with Christ, things actually make sense. Things actually connect. that the purpose and the meaning that I was longing for is actually found in him. And brothers and sisters, my life, because of this moment, has drastically changed. And I don't want to make it too overdramatic, but I want to be very clear about this, is I'm just some guy. Like, there's like 3,500 people here, and I haven't met any of you. Like, I'm just some, like, stranger off the street that got handed a microphone. You know what I mean? But I'm telling you right now that my life was different after this point, that I encountered Jesus in such a powerful way that evening, and I have encountered him so many different times since then, and it has changed the course of my life in such a powerful and drastic way. Back in the day, 15 years ago, you speak to me, I would speak two words to you. Look at what I'm doing right now. There is no hesitation in my voice. I'm not worried about what you think of me. Seriously, like, I care what, you know, like, I like you, I love you, you know what I mean? But, like, seriously, I don't care what you think of me. Like, the God of the universe, who has an infinite love, broke into my life, and it has drastically changed the course of my life because I met a person. I knew a lot about Jesus, sure, but this time I actually knew him. And it changed everything. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, he talks about Christianity is like the sun. Not only do I see it, but by it, I see everything else. Again, Christianity is like the sun. Not only do I see it, but by it, I see everything else. All of a sudden, my life started to completely change, and it didn't happen overnight. It took a certain amount of time, you know, and like different, had to work through a lot of things, but all of a sudden, like everything started to change. Where this Grand Canyon-sized hole in my heart that at this point I had been filling with marbles, that at this point I hadn't even been trying to fill it, was actually being filled with an infinite love. The God of the universe started to meet me, not just one time, but every single day. And I started to actually drink of this living water, and my life is completely different because of it. A couple of years back, I used to work for a Catholic high school in Colorado. And they came up to me, I was 24 at the time, and they said, "Hey, Pete, we want you to take 43 people to Rome during Holy Week." Whoa, okay, you want me to do that? I'm 24. They said, "Yes, we want you to take 43 people to Rome during Holy Week." So brought all of these people, you know, 35 of them were like 16-year-old hormonal teenagers like yourselves, you know, and we had a bunch of chaperones or whatnot, and we go over to Rome, like we fly over there, and we do kind of the tourist thing. It was during Holy Week, so that's like high time. I mean, this is like being at Disneyland when Frozen is released, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's like millions of people in Rome, but now there's like millions and millions and millions of people in Rome, and so it's kind of crazy. I had two rules. One, eat gelato three times a day. If you don't know what gelato is, it's Italian ice cream. It's awesome. So eat gelato. Did you literally just clap for that? That's awesome. All right. So eat gelato at least three times a day. Number two, don't die. Like, those were my two rules for these students, you know, these teens. And so we're going through Rome. We're walking, and we're 43 people long. There's narrow streets in Rome, so literally every place that we go is about, like, three blocks long. Like, we're that long of a train just because of it. We end up going to the Vatican Museums. If you've never been there, most museums in the United States are, like, these huge, massive rooms that you have, like, all of this space to see things. The Vatican Museums are the absolute opposite of that. Like, they're tiny little hotel rooms. Like, think of your typical hotel room, and think of, like, hundreds of them. It takes about 2.5-3 hours to get through the entire, like, aspect, you know, like, all the different nooks and crannies of the Vatican Museums. So we take 43 people in there. Like, again, think of your typical hotel room. Like, we are spread all throughout the Vatican Museums. The whole time, I am freaking out. Like, seriously, like, 43 people in the Vatican Museums, like, taking 2.5 hours, like, going through all these, like, hundreds of different tiny little rooms with tapestries and statues and all these different things, you know, and so we're going through, and eventually we get out, and I just tell everybody, like, we've got to get, like, a line of people, you know, and we got to make sure everybody's here. So I start counting off, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42. We are missing someone. in the middle of Rome. I kid you not. So all of a sudden, I am just like freaking out. I'm thinking they're going to throw me in jail. Like that's what's going to happen. One of the chaperones looks at his cell phone, sees that he has about 20 missed calls, all from the same caller. So he calls up the cell phone, and it's this girl. Okay, guess who it is? It's Sarah. Let's just say Sarah is not the brightest crayon in the box. You know what I mean? So Sarah's, chaperones, you'll get this. If there is one kid not to lose in Rome by themselves, it is this girl. You know what I mean? Like, this is just the one person not to be lost in the middle of Rome. So our chaperone calls her up, and she says, "I'm at the hotel." "Sarah, what are you doing at the hotel? Like, you're supposed to be in the Vatican Museum." So I'm like, what the heck's going on? So I leave, the rest of the group does their thing, and I like hop on the train, whatnot. It takes about a half an hour to get to the hotel. What is she doing? I stop by, pick up chocolate gelato, you know, as like a peace offering, you know what I'm saying? Don't sue me. That was it. So I eventually like get to the hotel. I've got gelato in hand, and I walk in. Whew, there she is. I kid you not, just black mascara just like going right down her cheeks. Like you can just tell she has just been through, you know, the worst of it. So I give her a big hug, hand her the gelato, right? And we start talking back and forth. And she's like, you know, I'm like, what happened? She's like, "Oh, we went here, we went there, you know, and I talked to this person, you know," and kind of going back and forth and figuring out things. And eventually I just stop her. I'm like, "Okay, so why did you go to the hotel?" And she said, "Well, I was so lost that I wanted to go to the one place I would be found." She was so incredibly lost that she wanted to go to the one place that she knew that she would be found. I don't know exactly where you're at. Maybe it's your first time and this is totally weird. I don't blame you. You know what I mean? Like, maybe this is your third or fourth or like 17th Steubenville, you know, and you've got like your shirt and you're ready to go. Like, maybe you're a chaperone or a youth minister. I don't know where you're at coming into this weekend. But what I do know is that each one of us has a Grand Canyon-sized hole in our hearts. And we have a God who wishes to love us infinitely, who thirsts for our souls. And my encouragement to you tonight and this weekend is to put yourself in a place where you can be found by Him. You see, for my story earlier, I was thirsting for God. Like looking back on it, I was thirsting for God, but what I failed to realize was He was actually thirsting for me all the more. You see, I was searching for God in so many different ways, but what I failed to realize is that He was actually searching for me all the more. Wherever you're at, put yourself in a place to be found by our God this weekend. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, we praise you and give you glory. We open up our hearts to you, these hearts that ache for you, these Grand Canyon-sized holes. Lord, and we know that we have offered our hearts up to a million different marbles, whether they be sinful things or things that aren't necessarily bad but aren't you. We open up our hearts to you tonight. You who are the living water, you who are infinite love and mercy and goodness and joy and peace. We offer to you our struggles, our anxieties, our worries, our fears, all that holds us back from you. We wish to be found by you this weekend and tonight. Give us the grace to open our hearts to you.